Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on the Odyssey app. It is 409, 44, 45 degrees and rainy outside on this Thursday, April 10th, 2025. ABC News is reporting that there are fatalities reported as far as this helicopter crash into the Hudson River near New York City, just north of the World Trade Center on the New Jersey side near the Holland Tunnel. There are emergency crews on the scene. There are divers in the water. But as per law enforcement sources by ABC News is saying that there are fatalities reported and is saying at least four people were on board that plane. So hopefully there are some rescues there as well. Got a text message in. You can call or text 570-883-0098. Somebody says, Rob, have you heard any more about the Biden Expressway name being changed? I haven't heard anything about recently. Was curious if it's still a focus. I don't know if it's still a focus. I know that some of our state representatives, senators, were looking into it because they said it was done improperly. Now, this isn't Biden Street. This is the Biden Expressway. But I haven't heard anything other than that. So is it still on the focus and forefront? I know a lot of people still want it done, but we'll see. We'll see how much it gets there. He says ABC News is like a public service announcement for the Democratic Party. It's the end of the world, Trump bad, China good. I do not disagree. Do not disagree there at all. So like I said, you can call or text 570-883-0098. Somebody also texted in. We're talking about computers and whiz kids and such, this generation that built up with computers since they were little. We said, my niece is 9 and she builds computers from scratch. That's the generation. Listen, if you want someone to work on your computer systems or code or whatever it is, these people do it themselves. It's a crazy environment. Let me go to the phone now. We have Lorraine from Hazleton. Lorraine, how are you?
Hanging in, Rob. You know, I went through hell and back for the past couple weeks, being up the ER twice in 1 week.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, Jake was supposed to tell you, but anyway, I did congratulate him, and I'm calling to congratulate you on your award.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, we're going to talk about that in the 5 o'clock hour, but Jake and I won a Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasters Excellence in Broadcasting Award, and he's going to pick it up on the show's behalf tomorrow at their annual awards luncheon. Yeah. And we're going to discuss a little more later in depth, but I appreciate you recognizing that, and I'm glad that Jake's able to go down there with his wife and accept that award.
Yeah, geez, I'll tell you, for me being a special party, you'd think that they'd come up with an award for me. I don't know what I'd get.
Yep. So,
I'm sorry.
Are you at least feeling better?
Better is a broad term.
Yeah.
It's very scary, you know.
I know it is.
Tough and rough. But anyway. This morning I was called a treasure, so that's what's keeping me afloat today.
Well, you are a treasure. That's why we enjoy. That's why we enjoy taking your calls all the time and having you part of the show.
Yep. So, if anybody wants to go on a treasure hunt, here I am.
All right, Lorraine. Well, I hope you feel better. Hope you're on at least the upside of whatever you had going on.
Upside down, downside up.
Yeah,
I'll tell you. So, anyway, I may lose some stuff, but I didn't lose my sense of humor yet.
That's more important than people realize. You know, their sense of humor. You can deal with a lot. You can deal with a lot in life if you have a good sense of humor.
Oh boy, do you know what, Rob? One time I said. But this is a while ago yet. When I wasn't, I said to a priest once. I said, "Father," I said, "I could laugh in the face of adversity," and I just said it sort of haphazardly, but yet seriously. And then he goes, "You know what you call that, Lorraine?" I said, "What?" He said, "Faith."
There you go. Good advice there.
Oh well.
Good advice.
We used to have a sign in the kitchen. advice is one thing people would rather give than receive.
Let me see. Lorraine is Northeast Pennsylvania's greatest actress to be on the radio.
Who said that?
That's a texter calling in.
The greatest actress. Oh, boy. I'm telling you, all my fans are coming out of the woodwork.
And HVAC dude said that it was him that called you a treasure earlier today. So
oh,
you got
dude,
the text message. See, they're
dude,
listening. HVAC that, dude.
Wait, say that again?
HVAC dude. They do air conditioning and heating and such like that.
Yeah. Well, I only heard the dude part, and that's what brightened me up this morning when I called, when I read my poem for Kadira.
All right. Well, he's still listening to you. And
Is he the one that said it about me being an actress?
No, that was someone else. Another texter said, Lorraine is Northeast Pennsylvania's greatest actress to be on the radio.
Oh, okay. Well, there's my award, I'll tell you. Keep them coming in, folks. Thank you very much. I appreciate everybody, and I love everybody.
See, we cheered you up. We love you too, Lorraine. Thanks for calling in today. Thanks for congratulating us as well.
Oh, sure. Anytime. So long.
Thank you, Lorraine. Excuse me while I clear my throat there. Let me go to the phone now. We have Bob Bolas on reassessments and lawsuits. Bob.
How you doing there, Rob?
All right.
What we did today, and I brought it up yesterday with Gahan at the commissioner's meeting because of all the games he's been playing. And with the people with the reassessment, the way they're sitting there, it's an assumption that you could do this and do that. It's a joke on the way they're doing things. And they're not paying any of us to show up there and contest what they're doing while they're sitting there getting fat and rich. And we're getting screwed over. So what I filed today against my own personal assessments and the tax increase have been filed. And I also, the other suit was to prevent Gahan from using our taxpayer monies. Like I told him yesterday, he works for us. We don't work for him. And we haven't approved him using our money for his personal litigation to find a little lapdog to sit next to him and do his bidding. And he forgot there's another commissioner there. It's not about him; it's about us.
Bob, where did you file these lawsuits today?
Today.
Where? In what court?
Lackawanna County.
All right, in the Court of Common Pleas, you filed these.
Yes, and tomorrow we'll be filing an injunction against them from using any money.
Okay, so today it was just about your property reassessment, and you're going to drop another one tomorrow about him.
No, we did all three of them today.
Okay.
That were filed, but tomorrow I'm adding an addition to the Gahan one for an injunction to prevent him from doing anything with our taxpayer dollars for his own personal benefit against the Democrat Party. They have a system, it's worked, and he doesn't like it because he's not going to get his way to continue being a dictator to us in the city and the county. And as you recall, a long time ago, I put the head of them on the body of a skunk, and it hasn't changed a damn bit.
Yeah, my research with state law when it comes to counties under Title 16 is that a county commissioner county commissioners can only act as a body, as a board. No commissioner can act unilaterally on their own. So hopefully the court recognizes this, either with the lawsuit that's current now or yours.
They're going to recognize it because they're going to make damn sure they're not acting his attorney. They're representing the people.
Yeah, but
they got to follow the law.
I do hope the court recognizes this because it was pretty clear, and I've posted it on social media. It's Commonwealth of Pennsylvania Consolidated Statute 16, Counties, Chapter 125, County Commissioners, 12504. It says execution. An official document, instrument, or official paper is to be executed by the county commissioners. The execution shall be done by at least two of the county commissioners to attest by the chief clerk who shall affix a county seal on the document. And I would say think that a lawsuit is an official document, instrument, or official paper. So hopefully the court recognizes that.
Well, if they can't understand it in English, they'll see it on the side of a tractor trailer.
Yep,
and I'm running for mayor as an independent Republican write-in because the rogue Republican that's supposed to be a Republican, Charlie Spano, contested what I'm doing, and we got that before the court to have it reversed. Because the sitting judge there, he put in on his papers 2021 instead of 2025, And the judge said, oh, that must have been a typographical error. He's supposed to live by the letter of the law that said if it's not right, he should have thrown it out.
So the judge
instead
that just...
sitting there acting as his attorney.
The judge that just decided that you could not run for mayor just put the wrong date on that paperwork, you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
What Spano filed against me, he put 2021 down in his complaint. And it should have been 2025. And the judge sitting there said, oh, that must have been a typographical error, and approved it rather than kicking it the hell out.
So the judge already approved that you could not run, and you're appealing that?
Right. He acted as his attorney.
All right.
Basically, instead of the judge. And it's been appealed and everything already. It's all gone up to the higher court, which they understand 2021 means 21 and 25 means 25. And it's going to get kicked out, and I'll be on the ballot. And then we're dealing with all the charges I had to get them straightened out because of what happened here in Strand with a neighbor next door when I got charged for removing a no trespassing sign from a deeded right of way.
All right. Well, I'll keep an eye on what happens with the lawsuits. I was aware of the lawsuit about you running for mayor, and I was not, and I'm glad you filled us in that there was the wrong date on that and that you're appealing that. So I'll keep an eye on that as well.
Right, I'm running as a write-in on the Republican ticket, so we're going to kick butt, buddy. We're taking Strand back.
All right, Bob. Well, I appreciate you checking in today.
Thanks, Rob. Have a good day.
You too. Thank you. It's 4:21 here at WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. 4:26 here, 45 degrees on this Thursday, April 10th, 2025. So the Department of Justice has made an unusual move, but I do agree with it, to drop the charges against the top MS-13 leader who was busted in a major Virginia operation. We talked about this 2 weeks ago, where they took one of the top leaders on the East Coast of MS-13 into custody. There were gun charges and a whole bunch of other stuff, and they were expecting to drop even more charges. Well, it turns out they're dropping the charges now. And by drop charges, I meant add more charges to his arrest. But they're dropping, the Department of Justice is dropping charges now. And they are initiating with the Department of Homeland Security to designate this individual as a domestic terrorist and deport him, remove him from the country. So with a now secure border and possible incarceration elsewhere, I think this is a good move for the taxpayers. And again, it's unusual. It's something we haven't done before because we've had such a porous border that you remove someone and we've seen that they've come back. You remove them and then they've been back again. And then you remove them and they come back again. But your average cost for a federal prisoner is about $45,000. And that doesn't include court costs and lawyers and everything else, but transportation to and from court. Just housing an inmate, a federal inmate, costs about $45,000 a year, or about $120 a day. So I think fiduciarily, financial-wise, it's a good move. Why should we pay for the long-term incarceration at $45,000 a year for this cretin who should simply just not be here? Yes, there are charges. Yes, he's a gang member. Yes, they are now designated a terrorist organization. Remove him. Let him be somebody else's problem. Keep him from coming in again. And let him know that if he does, for some reason, somehow, down the road, come back in, he'll be sentenced to life in prison. So I don't disagree with this this process. And again, we've talked about this for 2 years now, over 2 years, that you cannot have comprehensive immigration reform. You cannot remove violent individuals until you secure the border. What's interesting is the last administration told us it was impossible. They could not do it. Just couldn't do it. The border was secure in 30 days. 30 days. Right now, it's the most secure it's been. Again. Now, will someone manage to slip in? Sure. Nothing's infallible. But under this budget deal that was the framework, at least, was approved today, there is a lot of border security infrastructure in that bill. So not only are we maintaining the personnel, not only are those personnel allowed to do their job at the border, not only do we have our military supporting those personnel to secure our border, not only now do we have high-tech surveillance military assets monitoring the Gulf of America and the Mexican border, flying P-8 aircraft, which are top secret surveillance Navy aircraft that have been monitoring the Gulf and the border of Mexico, with Mexico's permission, I mind you. Coast Guard, in an operation with the Department of Homeland Security, joint venture with the DEA and everybody else, has scored one of the largest cocaine busts in the history just recently. So what we're doing is working. It was done. The border was secure in 30 days, something they said was impossible. Some of you will never admit that. And listen, I'm all for comprehensive immigration reform. And once they get the border solid, let's have that conversation. Matter of fact, let's have that conversation right after the tariffs and the budget's done. I'm open for it. I'm open for letting more legal immigration come in to revamp our system of legal immigration. People who want to come to this country for a better life, assimilate to this country, become part of the fabric of their country, not forget who they are, but become part of the fabric of America. Come here to raise their families, to flourish, and do better. That's always been welcome. That's been the American dream. That's not has what been happening the past 4 years. We've had a literal free-for-all, a lot of which are violent criminals, as we've seen. Not all of them, no, but a lot of them, a good portion of them, and they're the ones being targeted now. But yes, I get the text message, well, 25% of those deported have not had violent criminal records. Yes, but they're hanging out with those who do. And they said from the very start that if we start hunting down these violent criminal, often now terrorist organizations, these gang members, if you do not have a criminal record and you are there, you live in their house, you are the significant other of one of these individuals, you're the children of one of these violent thugs, yep, you're going to go too. So there's your 25% there. And that's not your fault. It's not a mean America. It's not my fault. It's not the ICE's fault or Tom Homan's fault or Kristi Noem's fault or Donald Trump's fault. You know whose fault it is? The criminal that's living with them. It's their fault, putting them at risk. Just like any other crime in America. You could be the biggest church-going individual there is. If you're arrested and you have your children in the car, well, the police are going to take your children from you. You are going to jail. You will not have access to your children. You have no access to your families if you have a violent criminal record. If you have weapons in the car or drugs in the car and you don't own up to them and you're with your mom or dad who may have nothing to do with your criminal, well, everybody in the car gets arrested then. And you know whose fault it is? It's yours for lying and not telling the truth of whose it is and owning up to it. So your parents could leave. Walk away. That's the way crimes work, even for Americans. So let's have that conversation. I'm all open for it. But it's good to save this $45,000 a year on housing someone that shouldn't be here to begin with. It's 4:32 here at WILK. It's time for the news again with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's the point of the show where we honor our heroes here in Pennsylvania who made the ultimate sacrifice today. But before I get to that, there is an update. Now, with that helicopter crash in the Hudson River, it appears 6 people on that helicopter have died. And as per the Associated Press, it appears to be a family from Spain, 2 adults, 3 children, and the pilot. So the Associated Press is reporting 6 on that helicopter that crashed near the Holland Tunnel in the Hudson River, just north of the World Trade Center on the New Jersey, leaning more towards the New Jersey side, have been recovered and are deceased. I do see NYPD divers in the water still at the scene, as well as dozens of first responders. So some tragic news coming out of the Hudson River today. I'm also seeing reports that 2 planes clipped each other on a tarmac in D.C., a D.C. airport. Now, I'm not sure if it's Reagan or Dulles. It just says a D.C. airport. There were 3 members of Congress on one of those planes. Everybody's okay. There were no injuries, but they did bump. So it seems to be a, you know, active day when it comes to our aviation community again. So let's go to our members to honor today. Detective Sergeant Raymond Lee White of Neither Province Township, Pennsylvania, 1983, suffered a fatal heart attack while collecting evidence at the scene of a violent homicide. Police Officer Alan H. Lewin, Philadelphia Police Department in 1975, died of injuries suffered when he was struck by a hit-and-run driver on March 23, 1975. He was getting into his patrol car, 22nd Street, near Lehigh Avenue. Lieutenant Matthew Arnold Seckninger, State College Borough Police Department in 1968, was killed in a vehicle crash shortly before midnight on Route 322, 1 mile north of the borough line, while investigating two hitchhikers. Policeman David H. Wiley, Philadelphia Police Department in 1932, was shot and killed as he and his partner investigated a suspicious vehicle parked in front of a business on Market Street near 3rd Street. Police Officer Thomas Freeborn, Pittsburgh Bureau of Police in 1894, succumbed to a head injury suffered 7 years earlier by a prisoner who was trying to escape inside the Central Police Station on Diamond Street. And those are our five from here in Pennsylvania. And again, tragic news coming from the Hudson River. They are now lowering gurney into the water to possibly remove remains from the water. They have been identified, and all six have been said to be deceased by the Associated Press in that helicopter crash. I'm watching it live on Fox News now, but it's also all over the internet as well. It's 4:41 here at WILK, time for 2020 traffic and weather together. Here's the Storm Tracker 16 forecast from Chief Meteorologist Kurt Aaron. Tonight, clouds with some wet snow showers possible, low of 35. Tomorrow, clouds with a chance of rain mix with wet snow by evening, high 47. Saturday, cloudy with scattered rain showers, high 47. Sunday, partly sunny, high of 55. It's currently 45 degrees here at 4:41 at your official weather station, WILK. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's time for Today in History, because how do we know where we're going unless we remember where we've been on this day, April 10th? We have several significant events that occurred throughout U.S. history. 1790, President George Washington signed the Patent Act of 1790 into law, establishing the U.S. patent system. 1849, Walter Hunt patented the safety pin in New York City and sold the rights for $400. 1912, the RMS Titanic departed from Southampton on its maiden voyage. 1963, the atomic submarine USS Thresher sank in the Atlantic Ocean, resulting in the loss of all on board. And 1970, Paul McCartney announced his departure from the Beatles. These are the events that highlight the diverse historical milestones that have taken place on this day, April 10th, in U.S. history. They do indeed appear to be recovering the bodies from that crash site in the Hudson River, just off the Holland Tunnel, just north of the World Trade Center area, to kind of put in perspective for you. It is closer to the Jersey side. There is a pier coming from Jersey that's out there. A lot of the boats appear to be docked there, and then they have the rubber inflatables with the divers working around there as well. I would imagine they're going to bring a barge with a crane. It's close enough to the pier where they may be able to bring something out on the pier, a crane, and have one of the boats tow it closer to pluck it right out of the water and bring it onto the pier. So we are monitoring that situation as it's happening now. I did see a graph today from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. This is a chart, and this is real averages weekly earnings change since January 2021. Real average weekly earnings change since January of 2021. Average American weekly paycheck adjusted for inflation fell 4% under the Biden administration, but has now grown each month of the Trump administration. And this is coming from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So, interesting. The average American weekly paycheck adjusted for inflation fell 4% under the Biden, but has now grown each month under the Trump administration. Pretty substantial information there. So just looking at some video that's coming across now. One thing that I wanted to look into, I meant to get to this earlier. The arena, Luzerne County Arena Authority, or the Luzerne County Convention Center Authority, approved a motion Wednesday to get appraisal of 7 acres that could be sold for development of another hotel off of Interstate 81. The undeveloped land is by the parking lot of the authority's Mohegan Arena property. A sale of the land could be for $1 million, according to discussion at Wednesday's meeting. A group approached the authority about buying the land. As per the chairman of the authority would agree to a sale that stipulates the property would be used for a hotel only, which would not create additional traffic and negatively affect arena operations. Now, there are other hotels in the area, including the Courtyard Wilkes-Barre Arena, Home Suites 2, and Hilton Wilkes-Barre, Hampton Inn Suites, and Motel 6. Also at their meeting, they approved a 4-year contract with a new solicitor. He will get a $35,000 base retainer. The authority last month appointed this new solicitor, ending the 16 years of service from the former solicitor. So a lot of changes as far as legal services go for the arena, and there could possibly be talk of development of a new hotel there. Now, living so close, I've never taken advantage of the hotels there, but I know people from out of the area and people who work there that do. So, is it a welcome addition? It's always a welcome addition if it helps the economy. And if someone's willing to do the research and say, hey, we want to put a hotel here, and approach them if they're looking to sell the property, it's probably a good thing. Now, there is video now, I'm looking, of the helicopter, which we knew would come out. I mean, New York City is one of the most photographed and surveilled place probably in the world. And if you don't realize that, you should. I haven't been to New York, and I couldn't even tell you the last time I was back in New York. But it appears the rotor blades detached from the helicopter itself, and it fell from the sky. It looks like the rotor blades from the top just totally detached. So that could, there was obviously a catastrophic mechanical failure here, to where it looks like the part of the engine itself on the top that connects to the blades is still connected to the blade. So if there was some sort of bearing failure or some major mechanical failure of that helicopter, to where the blades on the top of the helicopter totally detached. I'm looking at the video right now. Totally detached from the helicopter, and the helicopter fell from quite a height. I mean, this helicopter appears to be the height of those tall buildings. So you're talking hundreds of feet. The helicopter fell into the water. So it doesn't appear this was just drowning, but possibly the impact that led to the fatalities of these 6 victims, as per the Associated Press is giving us. So tragic situation there, but like we figured, there would be more and more video. Yeah, and it appears that the blades of the helicopter landed several hundred yards away from where the helicopter itself landed. So tragic, again, situation in New York City in the Hudson River. It is 4:52 here at WILK. Time for, we'll be back. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. I was just viewing some more footage of this tragic helicopter crash in the Hudson River just off the Holland Tunnel between New Jersey and New York, just north of the World Trade Center. It appears the helicopter was flying extremely erratically, appeared to recover, and then the blades detached, and it fell from hundreds of feet into the water. The blades fell a few hundred yards away from the helicopter itself. As per reports, all six on board have not survived. So that's some tragic news coming out of there. But there is multiple videos coming out of it, not only the blades detaching and hitting the water themselves, as well as the fuselage, but the helicopter flying erratically before the blades detached. So it appears there was some sort of catastrophic mechanical failure here, where the entire apparatus that connects the blades detached from the helicopter itself. Just a tragedy there. So when we come back after the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to be playing the special that won the award for the Rob O'Donnell Show. And WILK did pretty well with the Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasters annual awards this year. And they don't give a lot of these things out. But you have the special that we did, Jake and I did, The World's Greatest Navy, Are You Ready? That was a two-hour special that Jake was able to narrow down to 10 minutes because we had a maximum of a 10-minute submission. You know, the awards at the Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasters wasn't going to listen to an entire two-hour special. So, you know, they had them broken down into segments during the depending on the categories that won. The morning show, Nancy and JC also, Jason also won a Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasters award. And Brian Hughes for the morning news person also won a Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasters awards. But the work, and congratulations to all of them, well-deserved. What WILK is going to be well-represented. And this is both radio and TV. Now, we're obviously in the radio version. And we're going to play that 10-minute submission. But one of the things that I focused on when I talked to Jake about us submitting this, I said from the very start, if we win this, if we're recognized for this, I want you to go down and do this because it's no easy task. First of all, running all the moving parts of a two-hour special, commercial-free special, but taking that two-hour special and condensing that into a 10-minute highlight that we submitted for this award. So, Jake, I truly appreciate all the work you're doing there, and I've said from the very start that you're the one I wanted to go down there and accept this award. I will not be attending the event, but Jake will, and accepting the award on the show's behalf.
Wow, you left me speechless there, and it's certainly an honor to do this, to accept this award on your behalf.
Our behalf.
It's certainly the highlight of my career so far, and I mean, I still remember last year, I think it was around April or so, probably even earlier than that, when you presented this idea to myself and to the sales department, to Ryan, to so many different people. And I mean, what a, like, it leaves me speechless. I mean, what a, just being a part of it is unbelievable. And to win an award for it, you know, it definitely takes a total team effort. I was nervous as all hell when you had to condense it down to 10 minutes and get the very best of everything and the four people that you interviewed and all the different things that you covered, whether it was obviously aviation, ships, the possibility of combat and conflict. I mean, it was certainly it's certainly a highlight for me, and Kelly and I were just absolutely thrilled that we'll be there tomorrow. So, yeah, it's not often I'm speechless, but I am right now. So,
well, that's a good thing, and it's a good thing to be at. You know, I'll be out of town, but even from the start, even before I knew I was going to be out of town, I said I wanted you to go down and accept this on the show's behalf because of all the work you did, and a lot of times that goes unrecognized. Listen, we say it's the Rob O'Donnell Show and stuff, but I say quite often, and I want to put that in as much as I can, how much you do for the show, how much you're a part of this show, and it's a team effort. 100%. And you know, we discussed what we wanted to submit here, but you're the one who put it together. You know, we're going to play that when we come back after the 5 o'clock hour so you could see what they heard and what won the award. We'll be back.